everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
I'm Dane, the sophisticated... it didn't really work, because you can't see the wine glass.
He's swirling a wine.
Swirling, I am a sophisticant head.
Sophisticated type of a head. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What's up tonight? It's not exactly a super fun one.
Well, if I were to analyze this wine, I would say it's delicious. No notes. Anyways, so what we're talking about tonight is...
I get what you're doing, but they don't know.
I know. They're going to... we've been doing this podcast for a handful of years. Four is written on the sheet.
Almost four.
And we've been game mastering and, you know, fucking around in the tabletop role-playing space for longer. And we've noticed recently our experiences have changed due to just, like, our analytical mind, right? Because, you know, we're in the weeds. We're elbow deep in the guts, as you were, thinking about this stuff.
We think about it a lot. So we are going to talk about, A, what we've noticed. We're gonna share that with you, our observations. And then we're going to talk about what do now. Because, as you'll see from the first part, a little bit of action. It seems a little bit of action is required from us. Different than what we normally do and what you normally hear from us on the show. So, what we've noticed. More critical. Us.
Just in general, we've become more critical of things that we do, things that other people do. Right? Because we're constantly thinking about, like, episode ideas and, like, what we have to say about that. And, like, discussing tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Right? So we're looking for things that we can be like, oh, well, here's our tip for that. Right? Which means you got a lot of negative thinking going on.
Yeah. And just, like, extra thinking. It's not just, like, I'm critical of everything. Of, you know, the content that I consume, like books and movies and TV, in a way that has been informed by game mastering. And everything always has now this, like, extra layer. Like that bit in Toy Story 2 where the old guy has all the magnifying glasses to do the super precise, like, painting and sewing and stuff on the toys. One of those is, like, looking at everything that I do and consume through the role-playing lens. Like, is there an episode here? Or, like, how apply this back to?
You might as well, because I apologize for our listeners, if you hear any dog barking or dog-related noises, I am dog-sitting a baby genius spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
And we thought better outside than inside. So, apologies in advance.
You might still hear a bit of him. But yeah.
So, yes, the extra layer aspect of things, and especially like when I'm reading, you know, an article or like the new trailer just dropped for this or whatever it is. And like, you know, not only am I thinking about the actual game or the movie or whatever, but I'm also thinking about the reviewer and being like, well, this is stupid. Why did they say this? So just a bunch of negative, steeped in negativity.
Yeah.
And hypercritical.
Critical. Yeah. More critical in general and more critical, like, acutely. Like, I'm more critical of every... I'm more deeply critical of individual things, and I'm more critical of a wider variety of things than I used to be. And we've sort of just done that a little bit to ourselves by leaning into this thing that we do, which is to talk about a hobby, to make another hobby out of talking about the hobby, essentially.
Yes. And critical of ourselves as well, especially, like, game mastering, like, you know, those little mistakes that, like, I'm sure I've been making all along are just much more glaring now, where it's like, why did I do it this way? That was stupid. I should have definitely seen where this was going and, you know, being able to avoid it. So, you know, kind of just not ruining, but definitely kind of making it hard to enjoy the hobby.
Yeah. And yeah, so recognizing, because of thinking about it all the time and talking about it all the time, recognizing things that are, you know, suboptimal role-playing experiences all the time. And like, oh, kind of wish I hadn't done that. Or, you know, I wish I'd predicted a certain player response a little bit better. We've got some...
Right. How did I should have avoided that railroad. Like, yeah. You know, obviously that was railroading.
I wish I'd found a way to do that without railroading or otherwise taking away player agency in a thing. Or drops in consistency. I had a system in the last thing I ran where I thought it was a clever way to handle a character not being there one time. Where, like, the characters would wake up in their camp and be like, oh, that's weird. This guy's not here. Well, you remember him being here, but also give me a mind roll. Or a thinking roll. Think on it for a second. And they kind of found out that, like, oh, they're in a weird sort of place where a couple of different time streams are happening at the same time. And I thought that was fun at first. That was a, you know, easy way to kind of, like, brush aside one character not being there for one session and introduce a little bit of mystery that I thought might, you know, be fun to, like, you close the timeline, select a prime timeline by the end of the adventure. But then it just ended up happening every session because there was always at least one person in and out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was a very good thing by the end of it, even though I twisted it into just like a goof at the beginning of the episode. Let's roll to see like which version of events do you remember, because who's not here this week? And now looking back on it, I don't love it.
Right, and that's the thing, because like I was a player in that session and I was focused on a completely other bad set of things. Like that whole, you know, oh, this person, you remember this person being here and you did some things with this character,
mm-hmm. but like they're not here right now.
They don't wake up at camp with you. Like, I thought that was pretty good. You know, and like what I was noticing, you know, as the player, what I was focusing on is like the like, not to throw too much shade, but just like the disruptive and like bad role-playing choices players were making for their characters. Like, why is your character doing this? Like, this is ridiculous that you're on this track now. It's like, this has nothing to do with role-playing. You're just, you know, in one of those moods, I guess. Right? Because I'm, like, thinking about, like, oh, the good role-playing, stay in character, play it as your character would. Right? So it really just, you know, spotlights the bad stuff, yeah. Right?
Another one that I noticed during that campaign, adventure, whatever, is I started to notice and be really, really critical of myself, but not until afterwards, because I'd be like, oh, shit. Now I'm kind of thinking about it. This player kind of sat there the whole time, and mm-hmm. I didn't really give them a chance to do anything special. I didn't ever, like, throw the spotlight their way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at any point, anyone could step up and be like, I've got a dumb plan, let's try this, mm-hmm. whatever. But, you know, not every player leads that way. And so I want to give everyone equal slices of the pie. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Equal shot at playtime. And then I would... There were a couple sessions where afterwards I was like, oh, man, that kind of just, like, sidelined one guy the whole time. Mm-hmm. And not in like an exclusive way, like a playground bullying kind of way, just like I kind of failed to do anything special for them when I occasionally would do some special things for other characters and make an encounter all about something to do with them. Just didn't always happen for everyone. And it's probably fine, which is, spoiler alert, we're gonna get at that later.
Yeah.
But
it's just,
I'm very aware of it and very critical of it.
It makes the whole thing have a negative light on it, right? So like, you're no longer, or at least for me, it's like sometimes it's just like I'm no longer in the right headspace to role play. It's like, oh fuck, I gotta like run another session for these guys. I'm totally gonna fuck it up again. Like, my confidence is shot. And then, like, you know, of course, then you, like, overcorrect or, like, you know, go a little bit extra. And you're like, well, that was way too much. And that's even worse. And now, you know, that's two misses in a row for me. So, like, you know, I should just call it a, you know, call it a life.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Don't do that.
Right? Because, like, we have all these things on the board, right, that we say in our podcast. And, like, shit, man, if you like ask us, it's like, what's on the board? I don't think I could tell you a damn thing.
I can tell you one, the one we put on the board every fucking time, which is just to communicate with each other.
Yeah. All right, you got, I couldn't even have done that if you put a gun to my head,
which has made the board kind of a joke.
Well, it was always a joke.
It was always a joke because you guys can't see the board, but we could have put the board on the website.
Damn, man, another thing we did wrong.
Like 4 years ago, we could have, really, the first Tips and Tricks episode, we could have put the board on the website, added to it, and revised it.
That would have been such a cool, like, graphic. Like, TNT, we could have made it look like a corkboard.
Yep.
And, like, you know, add sticky notes and, like, you know, Sharpie to it, and then, like, little doodles. And
so, you know, listeners, boom. There's another one. Just another there's way another we kind of suck over here.
Right? But, like, that's what you get when you talk about this shit, like, at least, and so, like, we put out an episode every 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're usually around 40 minutes to an hour-ish. Mm-hmm.
Which means every 2 to 3 weeks we sit down and record,
right,
a couple of them.
So, like, coming up with outlines and ideas, talking about those, you know, probably, you know, just off the ballpark, you know, looking at, like, I don't know, 5 hours a week spend thinking or talking about it.
Yeah, I would say so. And maybe it... you know, you don't do it for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm, and it dams,
right,
up.
And, like, we have, you know, obviously breaks and we, like, front load stuff and whatever. But, mm-hmm, on average, so just, you know, that rule of you're thinking about it so much that it becomes, like, habit, and it becomes habit to focus on the negative stuff, because that's where the juice is. Like, that's where we can improve your game.
Yeah.
Is if we share our bad experiences and come with something, like, really insightful to say about it, then, you know, we're doing a good job podcasting.
Yeah.
But it's... And, like, I'm not saying this is for sure hard law, but, you know, how many active professional sports players are also pundits?
At the same time?
At the same time. Like, none, right? Because,
yeah,
they're focused on their sport.
Afterwards.
Yeah. So, like, we're doing both right now. Not to say that we're professionals, because, like, you know, hit us up on our Patreon and then
yeah,
maybe we can talk
someday
about being professionals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just hard to let things go and stop focusing on the negatives and, like, actually, you know, have that fun, bring that fun mentality to things when you're, you know, talking about or analyzing the hobby, right? So that's what we've noticed.
Yeah. Boy. But I just finished. This is a new note. This is a segue between the two parts. But we started this show because we were already talking about this stuff so much. Like, we were already doing the material of the show a lot, and it was fun. So, with that in mind, let's talk about what we do about it now that we've noticed this.
Well, yeah, and I think the podcast has never lost that, like, you know, fun factor, right? But we've just kind of talked our way, I have talked my way into not enjoying every session.
Yeah.
Right? Which,
or enjoying things
that's just
less,
on me.
Enjoying,
you know,
things less because I'm thinking about it critically, because I'm thinking about it, you know, as a designer and, as you put it, a pundit on the sport,
mm-hmm,
so-called. a pundit of the sport in this show that we do, and we don't record most of the actual playing that we do, but we do then come here and talk about it. Mm-hmm. So that 5 hours a week that you approximated, that doesn't even include the time that we spend prepping and playing
our own stuff,
our
right?
own adventures, yeah, with the regular friend groups that we do this with on a pretty weekly basis nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Not always the same thing, not always the same people, but you know, and that's another 3 to 5 hours a week plus prep time for whoever's game mastering that one.
Yeah. So this episode is just, we thought it was worth talking about it because maybe other people are in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, though. Maybe it's more of a self-care episode, right? You know,
thinking, I think that's what it is, and that's probably why right now,
yeah,
the energy probably feels a little lower if you're listening.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the highest energy I've ever been on any episode.
Well, and also it's fucking hot in our space.
It is. It's that summer recording, you know? It's that sweat box.
Yeah. But
anyway, so we're going to talk about some things about, or we're going to talk through some strategies and some stuff and kind of like turn the ship around, right? You know, stop thinking about the negatives.
Yeah.
Right? And that's our first thing.
Yeah.
Is, well, negative, what I was talking about, and negative space are two different things.
Yes. Okay, so the note here says, the note is examining negative space, which is an art term. If none of you were...
I don't know what it means.
Unfortunate enough, as I was, to attend an art program. I mean, you might have learned this just like in a high school art class as well. But, okay, so say you got a painting. The Mona Lisa.
Okay.
Her portrait, the woman in the painting, that's the positive space of the art piece. The negative space is the background, the space around the subject of the painting, right? So we are kind of playing fast and loose with the term negative, using it as two different things. When you only focus on the positive space of something and you lose sight of the picture as a whole, essentially what we're saying is being hypercritical, hyperanalytical. You highlight this bad stuff because the purpose of critique and criticism is to improve things.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that we are not hyperfixated on is actually probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Right, which is easy to forget, right? Because, yeah, you know, the light is shining on the subject, right? Which is the things that could be better,
mm-hmm,
right? But there's a whole background of things that went
right.
well.
There's all this negative space that when you are being critical of your own experience, you're not paying attention to. But that's stuff that you weren't, that you're not paying attention to because it doesn't require critique, because it isn't any sort of shortcoming. That stuff probably kicked ass a little bit. Otherwise, you know, why would it be continuing to happen every week?
Right, and it wouldn't be... Obviously, it's not in the spotlight because it went well, right? You know, the forest through the trees...
type of
right?
thing,
the
yeah.
big picture, the whole cannoli.
Yeah. Looking at the experience holistically... In addition, like, you know, we should still be critical. Everyone who's, you know, any sort of creative or participating in a creative thing like this, you should, you know, practice a healthy amount of criticism and critical thinking about what it is that you're doing. But then, yeah, make sure to take a step, take a beat, and take in the forest, the whole forest. Not just like that one tree.
Not that one weird looking bad tree.
That tree's bad. Okay, but there's a whole forest.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically a philosophical thing. There's probably more good than you're focusing on.
Yeah. Right? Which is, you know, now our advice portion.
Mm-hmm.
right? Let the bad stuff go. Obviously, what Cosmo had just said is, like, still keep that, you know, mind and those improvement juices flowing. But make, you know, note it, be like, okay, I could have done better here. But, like, that's okay. It's a process.
Yeah.
I'll do better next time. You know, I'm going to let, you know, forget about that one. Right? And I think I was supposed to sing Let It Go.
I wasn't going to. Okay, I put a little music note on it. Music note on the bullet, but that was just like for the reference. I feel like that serves its purpose without either of us needing to sing.
Thank Odin. But, you know, I talked about pundits and sports a little bit, you know. Ted Lasso's, you know, famous, you know, be a goldfish, forget about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, you mess up. All right. Maybe, you know, or think about, like, what led to that and, like, you know, how to avoid it in the future.
Yeah.
But, like, it happened and it's okay.
I mean, it's pretty good for a TV show, the line, but it's not terrific advice because the advice isn't actually to forget it. Whoa, it's just not to dwell on it. Don't let it stick on you. Don't let it weigh you down.
Yeah. Don't hyper focus on that one thing and, like, you know, let other things slip. Like, if that's something you need to work on, just be like, okay, I am doing, you know, A, B, and C pretty good. And I feel confident about A, B, and C. And we'll work on D.
Yeah. And then the next time you sit to prep, you got a little sticky note. And they're like, hey, try and make this a little better this time.
Right.
That's all. It's not forgetting about it, because that's unhealthy. If you forgot everything good and bad you did.
Well, I mean, if you forgot everything, you'd be Dory.
Yeah. Well, it'd be hard to get anything done.
Just like Dory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much like Dory. All right, so then the next one is pay attention to everything outside the spotlight, right? Right? Look at the spotlight, make your notes, make your adjustments, and then take in the whole picture, the forest, if you want to go back to our previous thing, right? You know, find little moments and, like, this is definitely a little life coachy and whatever.
Mm.
Right, but
well, we said it was kind of a self-care episode.
Yeah, I think it fits. Like, you know, find three or four things that, like, really went well, right? And, like, think about those and, like, why they went well, how they went well, and just, like, you know, capture that warm, fuzzy feeling that you have because they went well, right? And it can be super small, right? Like, if we're using the metaphor of, like, the painting, right? Just, like, all right, the lighting on this, like, background candlestick, ooh, right? You know, for example, I'll give two examples.
A better example than the painting we should probably move away from. Let's do examples from gameplay.
We gotta
play.
Keep with the metaphor.
I know, man. But I put it in there and then, like, well... We should be talking about...
Well, I got two real-life examples.
Let's have them. Let's do it.
All right. One, in our sicko zone that Cosmo and I are currently involved in, and you remember sicko zone.
Yeah, check out the sicko zone episodes.
Go back if
you
are
confused.
If you
don't know what it is. We invented something for the first time ever on Earth that's amazing.
Nobody ever tried it or did it before?
Nope. And, yeah. And it's also never got anything wrong with it.
Never. I made a character and I made a ship because this one's in space. And Cosmo said, I really like the names that you used. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And then, you know, some of that nomenclature became, like, just part of the session, you know, like, setting, you know. Specifically the phrase, one with the reeds or something like that.
That was really cool. Right?
Because my ship was named... Shadow Lurker, or Lurker in the Shadow Reeds, or something. Anyways.
And he's like a space
poetic
lizard,
as fuck.
Like, hunter creature.
You know, from a swamp.
Yeah. So his character, who is like a hunter, warrior, space explorer, alien, now I just say that. I say, you know, do a one with the reeds roll for when you're trying to, like, hunt prey or stalk a target or make a, like, clever tactical plan. One with the reeds. And, you know, we know what that means. You know what stat to apply
so
that to.
So that was, like, one of those moments that brings you back from, like, oh, everything sucks, I hate it. It's like, I didn't intend that to be really good, but, like, boy, did it hit.
That was pretty
and
good.
And I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Right? Second example is a little more recent. The other day, we were ripping a one-shot, testing out some stuff. And we come to a door that is part of a human. You know, there's a cyborg attached to the door and wants a snack.
This was really great. And really great role play.
We tried a couple things. We failed to open the door through our own means. And, like, we have to talk to this guy. I'm like, all right, you want a snack? My character cuts their finger off. Their little pinky off. They don't need that. But, like, boom, it gets us through the door.
Mm-hmm. Which was high-level psycho behavior, but it worked really well for these, like, radiation-crazed wastelanders. And it also wasn't... I felt really good about setting up that encounter because I did what I think is good advice. Let's put this on the board so we can forget about it. I set up just a small problem. I put a problem in front of them, and I hadn't designed a solution for it. There's a guy plugged into the wall. He's been there for years, and he runs the door, and they got to get him to open the door. He's just a little crazy and hungry, and he's been there for a long time. I don't know how you're going to... And I thought maybe they'd, you know, rummage in their packs and see if they had some food, and I might have made them roll to see if it's good enough, or go back in the dungeon a little bit and try and find some food or whatever. But those weren't right answers. Those were just, you know, I would accept whatever cool thing the players came up with. And then Dane came up with his character for a really wild solution. And I loved that.
Yes.
That worked very good.
And, you know, so those are just little moments that I'm going to keep in my heart and, like, man, that was good. You're doing okay, kid, right? Like, you know, you ever get down on yourself, you know, think about that moment because it was good.
Yeah.
Trying to think of another moment that I've noticed that I didn't do. Maybe I'm just selfish asshole and only think about myself.
Well, I definitely remember, you know, stuff that I do more than what other people do. But I remember your finger thing, and I'm going to remember that for a long time, probably. Because that's not what I expected at all. But also, you know, you set that stuff up for your players. Don't expect a specific thing. Just be like, here's a problem. Then let your players come up with a goofy answer.
Well, I think...
I liked when I blew up that bad guy and kind of blew myself up, too.
That's what I was going to say is... well, why don't you explain that one?
All right, so in Dane's big campaign that he's running, I'm playing a guy who used to be a pretty bad dude, used to be like a government cyborg super soldier and killed a lot of people, and now he's trying to be nice. And we're fighting this resistance against some mind control wizard cults. And we were fighting one of the, like, acolytes of these evil wizards. And one of the things they do is prey on our minds, which makes it, you know, harder for us to kill them because we have to, before we fight them physically, we have to overcome the mind thing. Yeah. Which is a great way for, you know, characters who are balanced one way or the other to be tripped up. Anyway, so in the narrative, I failed several rolls of this, like, mind attack, and I was, like, reliving terrible things from my character's backstory. And so when I came out of it, I was like, okay, this guy's kind of losing it right now because of what he just was forced to relive and came out of. And so I went a little berserk, and I told the other character in the party, just, hey, get out of here, and I ran up at the bad guy and blew myself up with all the...
with a bunch of C4.
With all the explosives I was carrying. And I probably would have died, except I was supercharged from a magic knife that I had killed someone else with.
And,
so
I mean, That's not... You didn't just be like, all right, I'm going to take this one. It's like you would like started beating this guy back and like threw him against the wall and was just like, all right, motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
It was... it felt really good, narratively and like mechanically, to beat a boss and basically like bring the session to a close with something...
Epic. Fucking, didn't you make it epic?
Fucking epic. And dramatic.
And dramatic.
And that felt good. And so, yeah, this is the sort of thing that we're talking about, I guess. Like, there is a lot to... There's always more to learn. There's always ways to improve. And it can be a trap, essentially. I guess I'm almost wrapping this up a little bit.
Yeah, well, let's hold off on the wrap-up. Let's stop. So, this point is about focusing on little things, and it can be just, like, you know, one simple action, like, one simple thing, like, you know, making some cool names that, like, expand the universe and, like, create, you know, setting going forward. Or it can be as dramatic as, you know, beating a boss, right? It doesn't have to be either, right? But, like, there will be moments, and so, like, maybe somebody just says a funny joke, and, like, that's just gonna stick with you and, like, the party. Maybe you didn't even make it, but, like, somebody else made it, and, like, that's just something you can riff on forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfect moment of role-playing. And hold on to those and try to notice those because they're definitely there.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, look outside the spotlight. Next. Remember that it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
And this, like, seems kind of, like...
obvious.
Yeah, and, like, little league soccer coach type of... advice, but I do feel like we kind of forget this as you get older. And yeah, like, is supposed to be fun. Was some fun had? Good question to ask at the end of it, just to yourself. You don't have to, like, debrief this every time, but was fun had? Yeah, seemed like it was. Okay, then good. Mission success, primarily, and yeah, there's things to improve on. Think about those later, though.
Right, so, but if people had a good time,
right?
Maybe you didn't, as game master, you didn't get through what you wanted to get through. Like, you guys are, like, the party took a sidetrack, and you're like, oh, but, like, the big climax was right there, and they didn't bite on it. But they had fun, so that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about how to rework it so, like, you know, the climax is in front of them again, right? Or, like, as a player, it's like, man, I didn't get to use whatever. Like, you know, I thought we should have made more progress or whatever. And, like, somebody sidetracked us. But, like, did you have a good time? Did other people have a good time? If yes, then, like, great. Boom. Yeah. You got it. And you get them next time.
The metaphor of, like, professional athletes and then pundits. That you brought up is also applicable here, but in a different way, because we are professional neither of those things. And neither are your players, right? I guess, like, we're mostly talking to game masters here, but we're also just talking about our own experience, which is as both players and game masters.
Yeah.
So we are not, like, professional athletes at this. And, you know, there are examples of people who, like, do this on TV shows for money, like the Critical Role or Harmon Quest or Dimension 20, like comedians and creatives who have managed to turn this into a show that is, you know, something of a career. And there are people who, you know, talk about this stuff or write about this stuff or, you know, design this stuff professionally. And so those, you could look at those as, like, our version of professional athletes or athletes who've turned
right.
to, you know, TV spokespeople talk about the show after they, or talk about the game after they've played the game for a while. Mm. We're not either of those things. We're just hobbyists who once a week or so get together to hobby. And so we don't owe anything to, like, network executives or shareholders. We don't owe performance to the owners of a team we might lose our spots to. We just, like, this is like, you know, adult rec league soccer type of thing. You do it because it's fun, and win or lose at the end of it, showing up and just, like, having a little bit of fun was the point. And the stakes are not professional athlete, television correspondent stakes. So you can kind of let yourself off the hook as far as...
Yes, I'm going to just bump this one up. We owe it to each other to have a good time, because it was the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
The true treasure was the money that you wasted.
I mean, that's down at the end as, like, the closer, but, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. And that's essentially what I'm saying. Like, it's the friends you make along the way. It's the fun times you have with your friends that's much more important than, you know, did I nail everything, like, about how this...
Would this be considered a good story?
Yeah.
Probably not, but, yeah. Like...
And maybe even, maybe it, yeah, maybe it's great, but, like, that's not the point. Maybe it sucks. Maybe it's fantastic. But the point is just do something fun with your friends.
Yeah. Right. And so I guess we'll leave you with this last thing is mindfulness.
Yeah. So we had some advice here. And all of this is good advice that we could have told ourselves at any time. But in order to do it, you got to be a little mindful about...
You had to make it real.
Yeah. You have to think about thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Take a step back, practice that mindfulness, be that, you know, kung fu master, and recognize that it's a journey, and the point is the journey.
Yeah, right, yeah. And, like, you know, there's not a ton of control. I mean, whether you're a game master or a player, right, you're collaboratively telling a story, right? So you can control your bits, but you can't control other people's bits, right? You know, the Master Oogway thing, mm-hmm. You know, you might wish for an apple or an orange, but that seed's going to grow up to be a peach tree.
Because it's a peach seed. Kung Fu Panda's really good. Especially the first one.
Yeah, first one hits.
I mean, I like all of them. I watched four this last weekend.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about... I was like, I meant to watch it, and, like, it came up, and then I was like, oh, this isn't the time. And then it's been, like, 5 weeks.
It was more like one than the other two were. Nice. Because now Poe is kind of at Master Oogway's level. Like, it's time for someone else to be the Dragon Warrior. And he's like, I don't know what that means. And Shifu is like, no, dummy, next step. Remember? The next step, keep going.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. And Tai Lung is back in it, and he's cool. But anyway, yeah, the friends you made along the way, have fun. So let's recap what we talked about. Or do we need to do too much of this?
Well, so, I mean, yeah, I think we, not too much. You know, quick little recap. We noticed that we were being extremely negative about our hobby that we love.
Hard, right? On ourselves, thinking about it a lot, and
Why do I keep ending up upset? Like, this is supposed to be fun, right? Okay, well, let's think about why. All right, why? Because we are analyzing stuff for how to have material for a podcast, right? We are thinking about bad things that could be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of negativity. Okay, well, let's check ourselves and, you know, what are some strategies for that, right? Like, examine the negative space, right?
Yep.
Don't get hyper fixated on the problem, because there's a whole painting there and probably most of it kicked ass.
Yeah. Or right? If you, you know, step back and look at the whole thing, like, oh, that's an imperfection,
mm-hmm.
right there, if you get up close.
Right.
If you look at the whole thing, that's just a nice painting.
Pretty good. Right? So, you know, think about the things that could be better and let them go. Don't just forget about them, but, like, they don't really matter, so you don't have to agonize over it.
Yeah.
Right? Pay attention just as much as the bad things, pay attention to the good things and be like, that fucking joke that this my player made was so good. And mm-hmm. like, man, that was like in character, so poignant, boom, love it. Or like, that action is like, I didn't expect that. I didn't know how this was going to end, but that is the perfect way.
Yeah.
Right? You know, highlight those moments as well as the things that could be improved. Right? And then at the end of the day, remember, it's supposed to be fun. So like, if everybody had a good time, then that's a win. If most people had a good time, that's a win. And I wouldn't go too much farther than that. But yeah, it was the friends we made along the way.
Yep. You're doing a recreational hobby activity socially for fun. And perfection or even improvement is kind of second to that. Yeah. Did you get together and have a fun-ish time? Pretty fun? Was it pretty good? It's good enough. You guys are having a good time.
Yeah, and then, you know, mindfulness, you know, the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
You don't control everything. You can only control a couple little things.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, you know, if there are no accidents, then everything's an accident, right?
Yeah. And outside of, you know, outside of advice specifically related to this hobby, you have to practice this. You have to practice a little bit of mindfulness and introspection and, like, you know, self check yourself a little bit in order to act on any of the advice to try and, you know, lighten your mental load a little bit. So you have to practice that in all of your life a little bit in order to apply it to how you think about this hobby.
Yeah, I mean, practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
Or good enough. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the kids are saying these days about, you know, the concept of perfect.
I don't get... Yeah, I've never been a fan of aspiring to perfect. Because, you know, by definition, it's a little bit unattainable. So good enough has kind of always been my vibes.
Well, you know, if that's... I was going to do a penis joke. I couldn't get that. Something about my penis is perfect. I don't know. All right. And we're done.
All right. So, anyway, yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you like our stuff, head on over to 2HGM.com, where the first thing you'll see is a cool little banner ad take you over to DriveThruRPG, where Afterlife lives.
Afterlife is our own original setting and game system that we have made, and, you know, in the vein of this episode, it definitely has some improvements to be made.
Yep.
But we put it out there because it was good enough, and, you know,
it's fun. We liked it and we were proud of it, and it's fun. We've been playing it for a long time, and it's fun. It was always fun, but now it's in a state where you can also look at it.
If you're an asshole and just X out of that, and you don't go buy yourself a copy, and you can buy yourself a print copy, comes with all these cool illustrations, or a PDF copy. If you buy the print copy, you get the PDF copy for free.
Yep.
But if you X out of that, see on our website our Patreon link. We'd love to have you as supporters. You can get access to our Discord where we do live events, live taping sometimes. Halloween special is our big to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, come join us on the Discord via, you know, becoming a patron.
Yep. You get to participate in that stuff. It's fun. I think that'll about do it. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we will see y'all next time.
See you next time.